fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Get your lineup set. It's time for Start or Sit.
Let's go.
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Three games in the books and week 12 is underway. And this is Fantasy Football Today on Friday. Happy Thanksgiving Friday. No cars on the road this morning, but we are in the office, and Chris Towers is doing the Fantasy Football Today video show at noon Eastern today, but stepping up to the plate and helping out on the podcast. Happy Thanksgiving, Chris.
Hey.
What's up?
Oh, not too much. You know, the drive-in was lovely. I got here on time.
Early, in fact.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, and, you know, last week we did the punch-out scale for football players. Dave put players on the punch-out scale, how much he liked them. Were they a Mike Tyson or were they a Von Kaiser?
Okay.
This week we're doing Thanksgiving side dishes. I asked Chris before the show, for one that he didn't like, one that he kind of liked, you know, one that he liked, not great, one that he loved. And it wasn't just side dishes, but the green bean casserole, that's going to be the players we don't want to start this week. The turkey, that's going to be the players that we want to start this week. You know, we're cool with it. The cornbread for Chris Towers is the absolute must start.
Is that a hot take? Is turkey as that middle one? Is that a hot take? Is cornbread? Casserole.
I don't think people like turkey. I don't think most people like turkey more than their favorite side.
I do two Thanksgivings. I do the one with my dad, and he's the Anglo side, the American side. We've got traditional Thanksgiving turkey. You got some sliced ham. And I feel like the ham is only there to make the turkey look better.
Oh, see, I prefer the ham.
Because then when we go to my mom's side, she's Puerto Rican. So we do, like, the roast pork that's been marinated in, like, blood oranges and garlic and all that and for hours.
Oh, nice.
And I didn't touch the turkey. Because I had this amazing pork.
Did your mom have turkey or just the roast pork?
Yeah, we had turkey.
Okay.
But I'm not going to touch the turkey when there's pork there.
Yeah, turkey doesn't really do it for me.
It's okay.
It's fine, right?
It's there.
I had some. I always feel obligated to have some.
It's a conspiracy theory. Like, Big Turkey has created Thanksgiving just to sell.
It could be, but all the side dish companies are quite happy with Big Turkey. All right, so let's talk a little football here. We're going to do start or sit for the five NFC home games and recap yesterday's action. We're going to play Beat the Waiver Wire. But first, let's talk about some good moves and bad moves. Also, Julio Jones against Richard Sherman. Or Julio Jones against Patrick Peterson, Mike Evans against Richard Sherman. Yep. I actually think the running backs in those games are even more interesting. So we'll get into all that. Should be fun. Yesterday's good moves and bad moves. Anything come to mind, good moves or bad moves yesterday?
I was watching the Dallas-Washington game, and I saw Kirk Cousins' numbers, and I was like, man, I should have started Kirk Cousins in my number one league. But I had Matt Ryan, and I knew I had started Matt Ryan. I was like, man, that was stupid. And then, like, at the end of the game, he throws that third touchdown. I go to look at my score just to see how much he has, and I realized I actually started Kirk Cousins. It was great.
Awesome. Yes. Cousins was my FanDuel quarterback. I had Cousins, Ezekiel Elliott, and Antonio Brown, and didn't cash in a 50-50. Thank you, Eric Ebron.
Yeah, I did not have a good day on FanDuel. I played a couple lineups that I just tried to be very different, and turns out going very different is not the way to go.
91st? No, 64th. Okay, that was an older one.
Yeah.
64th, yeah. I was a little worried about, I said to Jamie on the Wednesday podcast, I'm a little worried about two players, Rob Kelly and Dez Bryant. I was right to be worried about Kelly because no running back had had 20 carries yet on the Cowboys, and it continues. And oddly enough, Washington had the time of possession in this game, but they were trailing. That's part of it. And I was worried about Dez because of Josh Norman, which was silly because he abused Josh Norman. He should have had a long touchdown pass. Dak Prescott didn't see him. But he still only ended up with about 70 yards, did not score. So they were in my FanDuel lineup. They were in a lot of people's starting lineups. One of the good moves I made was actually starting Rob Kelly over Frank Gore.
Yeah, that worked out.
Yeah, it did by 2 points, but they both were bad. I also started Rob Kelly over Mark Ingram, and that's probably going to be a bad idea.
Yeah.
I started Eric Ebron over Kyle Rudolph. Terrible.
That one just, like, doesn't make any sense. I don't understand.
What, Ebron?
Yeah,
sense.
Like, he's been getting so much volume lately. The Vikings have actually not been good against tight ends lately.
Mm-hmm. And he had seven for at least 70 yards against the Vikings just a few weeks ago.
It doesn't
ago.
Make any sense.
So the other thing that I was wrong about, And I wasn't saying start this guy, but I kept saying it's Matt's giving. Matthew Stafford owns Thanksgiving. Matt's giving. Matt's big. This is obviously the toughest matchup he's had in the last 5 years on Thanksgiving, but he should have had 24 points because he missed Marvin Jones on two touchdowns, you could say.
Yeah.
And he played pretty well.
I'm kind of over the whole Lions offense right now.
Well, things I think will get better for them at New Orleans.
Yeah,
and then Chicago.
Nice.
Those are their next two games. And then at the Giants in week 15, that could be tough. At Dallas in week 16, could be interesting. And then if you play into week 17, they have Green Bay. But I think the next 2 weeks, they could be a go. We were talking off the air, who's a safe start on the Lions offense, and I think Theo Riddick and PPR is the easiest answer there.
Yeah, I mean, they have a bunch of guys you can start, but nobody that I feel amazing about starting.
No. I think Golden Tate, just his involvement.
In PPR, I guess.
He had a good game yesterday for the Vikings on a Thursday. I mean, that's pretty solid. And yeah, they're more PPR than anything else. Adam Thielen, I started him over Cole Beasley and Eli Rogers. It was a little gutsy, but, man, Thielen killed it when Diggs missed the game earlier this year. And he had eight catches.
He had the best game of his career the first time Stephon Diggs set out.
And he was only good in PPR. And one of the biggest mistakes I made is I started Adam Thielen in a league that I thought was PPR. It was actually only half-point PPR. So I should probably learn the rules.
Well, you have so many leagues.
I do, but still, I should have known that. And I also messed up the Twitter poll that I talked about on yesterday's show. It was, who would you rather start, Drew Brees in week 15? Or 15, yeah. Drew Brees at Arizona or Tyrod Taylor against Cleveland? What would you say?
Drew Brees.
Right. So two-thirds of the participants said Drew Brees. I didn't realize that I wrote Tyrod Taylor against Buffalo and not against Cleveland. Mm. So they might not have even known who the hell Tyrod Taylor was playing.
Still would have gone with it.
Yeah, well. Either way, so I made some mistakes. Anything else for you?
No, I didn't have too many players playing yesterday, so I kind of...
Okay.
I guess I was wrong about Dante Moncrief.
Yeah, I was
I thought
too.
He'd have a bad game, and he caught a touchdown. He's kind of Eric Decker-y right now.
I was wrong about Scott Tolzien.
He looked okay.
Because he did a fine job. T.Y. Hilton dropped what could have been a long touchdown pass. Hilton could have had a monster game. He, of course, got injured. Moncrief scored... And actually, his yards weren't bad for Moncrief.
Yeah.
And Dwayne Allen had a good game. So I got to give Tolzien credit. He played much better than I thought in the score. Because they got stopped on fourth and goal at the one twice.
Yeah.
You know, the score could have been a lot different. All right, news and notes. Amir Abdullah. Now, as a guy who owns Theo Riddick in a few leagues, I think I might try to pick up Amir Abdullah. I don't know that he's a must-add, but they're talking about him coming back. Who knows when? Maybe you only get him for a couple games, but...
Yeah.
But Abdullah and Charles Sims returned to practice. So it's another situation worth monitoring. You might want to pick him up now if you have someone to spare, the roster spot to spare. Charles Sims, Amir Abdullah. You can't pick up Abdullah. He already played. Tom Brady did not practice, but he is expected to play. Rob Gronkowski did return to practice this week, has a chance to play. He has not been ruled out officially yet. We will see. And Martellus Bennett did not practice on Thursday. His ankle situation is making my Ertz versus Bennett decision a little easier.
It's really weird. Like, you would think Martellus Bennett without Rob Gronkowski would be a stud.
Yeah.
And it really hasn't been the case this year. If you look at yards per route run, he's second overall among tight ends this season at like 2.93. He's only behind Rob Gronkowski. In the games that Rob Gronkowski hasn't played, he's at like 1.73.
But only one of those was with Brady.
Yeah, he's had a couple of really big games and then some like really up and down games.
Yeah,
so.
Well, yeah, we talked about it yesterday, but he's one of the trickiest guys for me this week. But if he's injured and he's been battling an injury most of the season, it would make my decision a little bit easier. Brian Matthews unlikely to play. Darren Sproles will likely play. The Packers could make an interesting move that could make their run defense a little better. If they move Clay Matthews to inside linebacker. I think they did that a couple years ago, and it worked really well for them, and I think they might do that again. We'll get to that game. TJ Yeldon has not been practicing. If you were in the deepest of leagues, I could see Denard Robinson getting like 7 carries or something. I'm not expecting Yeldon to play. We are expecting Mark Ingram to play. He has not been removed from concussion protocol yet, but he's been practicing. Michael Floyd is a hamstring injury. Rex Ryan optimistic about Sammy Watkins playing, but that could be a limited role, Chris. How would you approach Sammy Watkins?
No way I would play him this week.
Okay. And from yesterday's games, The Vikings had two more injuries on their offensive line. Unbelievable. The Colts had two injuries, including their center, Ryan Kelly. The other was Denzel Good, their right guard. Kelly left on the opening series. Good left on the second series.
Yeah.
I think Good might have come back and then left again, but it's bad. Offensive line's getting worse. Meanwhile, T.Y. Hilton hurt his back. You saw that. He came back, and then he left for good. Vontae Davis left with an injury, and Jordan Reed. I know he was able to finish the game, so you got to figure that bodes well for next week, and they've got a long week. But a sprained or separated shoulder.
Do they play on Monday night in week 13?
I'm not sure.
Somebody plays on Monday
night. No, the Colts do.
Okay, yeah.
They play the Jets. I'll see the week 13 schedule. Although I can tell you right now, they're playing at Arizona, the number one team in fantasy points allowed to tight ends. So we'll keep an eye on Reed.
And the Cowboys and Vikings don't get a long week this week.
Right. They play normal week. They play on Thursday. All right. So let's go to the games.
All right.
Start with the shootout. Dallas 31, Washington 26. Surprisingly, the Cowboys had the ball for just 26 minutes and 36 seconds. Dustin Hopkins missed a couple field goals. This was a winnable game for the Redskins and a very good game. How about Kirk Cousins? Three of his last four games, 28 or more fantasy points in 6 point per touchdown leagues. I hate the schedule going forward. At Arizona, at Philadelphia, then Carolina's pretty good. At Chicago, should be all right, unless it's like crazy windy. That's going to be late December. And then the Giants in week 17.
If nothing else, you probably picked this guy up off waivers at some point this season. I've seen him. I saw him available in a ton of leagues. And I mean, the way he's playing right now, whether he's this good personally or not is irrelevant at this point. Like that's a big topic of discussion. Is Kirk Cousins actually this good? It doesn't matter.
I think he's pretty good.
I'm mixed. I think he's improved, but the situation's so good that he's good enough to make the situation shine.
Well, he's throwing the ball downfield now. He's throwing deep balls pretty well, and he's using DeSean Jackson, who's had two big games in a row with big catches. So I think Matt Ryan against the Cardinals this week and Aaron Rodgers at Philadelphia this week, their performances might make you feel better or worse about Kirk Cousins in his next two matchups at Arizona and at Philadelphia. But as we move, Rob Kelly, fine, right? I mean, just
I'm not worried. Dallas is a pretty tough matchup.
DeSean Jackson, 59% owned. Pierre Garçon is 52% owned. I think it's easy to like Jackson more than Garçon right now. But do you think Jackson is a must-add player?
It's so hard to say with him because, you look at last week, he had the 451 and a touchdown. This week he has the 418 and a touchdown. But both games, if one ball is 2 or 3 yards off, all of a sudden his game is really bad.
That's because Sean Jackson. Yeah, that's
the problem is that he's probably must-own, but whether you can start him on any given week, it's almost random.
Yeah, he's frustrating, but finally starting to produce.
Yeah.
We go to the Cowboys. Dak had 22 fantasy points. It seems to be his floor. Ezekiel Elliott had, 11 plus 23. That seems to be his floor.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Dez Bryant did not. He did fine. He had a good game. Just didn't throw the ball much. Dak Prescott threw a season low, tied for a season low, 24 times. And then Cole Beasley, I think, is a little over-owned at 90%. He's 55 yards every single week.
Yeah.
And you're just hoping he catches a touchdown. Okay. That was, Dallas Washington.
And Jordan Reed was awesome, even though he was hurt. Let's see if he plays moving forward.
If he doesn't play, then you got to like Vernon Davis.
Yes.
He had 5 for 68 in this game. And it was good to see the targets back up for Crowder. 12 targets for him. 8 catches, 88 yards. Detroit 16 and Minnesota 13 here. Matt Asiata has scored a touchdown in 3 straight games. And maybe again on Thursday against Dallas. Who knows? Any major takeaways from this game? Let's start with Minnesota.
Sam Bradford's average throw was 3.5 yards downfield, according to Pro Football Focus.
That's his last throw should have been.
That's the lowest handoff in the NFL.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Wait, all season or this game?
It's tied for the lowest all season. For any quarterback in a game. That is just, I mean, I know they didn't have Stephon Diggs, but it's not like they throw the ball deep a ton to Stephon Diggs either. They kind of use him like a super Jarvis Landry. It just, Yeah, this offense, there's not a lot to like about this offense if Stephon Diggs isn't there. Adam Thielen is okay, but I would they really need Stephon Diggs back.
Other than Jacksonville in 2 weeks, Kyle Rudolph has a good tight end schedule. Dallas, Indianapolis, and Green Bay are three of his last four games, not including week 17, and all of those teams have struggled against tight ends. Matthew Stafford, I think we talked enough about the Lions offense.
Yep.
But you know, Marvin Jones got targeted in the end zone. That was a bad pass.
They actually tried to throw the ball downfield to him.
Yeah. And I think he got Trey Wayne's. I wasn't exactly sure where Xavier Rhodes was playing, because I look to be 100% honest with the listeners, was watching the games. They were on. But I was also home for Thanksgiving, yeah, and, you know, wasn't paying as much attention as I usually do. All right, and Anquan Boldin.
Shame, Adam.
Anquan Boldin, 9 targets and a season high 69 yards. Does have 6 touchdowns this year.
He's a great tight end.
Pittsburgh 28-7 over the Colts. Speaking of great tight ends, you think Ladarius Green can become a great tight end? 2 long catches in this game.
He played 14 snaps in this game. They don't seem to trust him all that much. They still don't seem ready to give him a big role. It is growing. I think he had 8 snaps last week, so that's a positive, but it's not enough of a positive for me to really get excited about him.
Frank Gore has a really bad upcoming schedule. At the Jets on Monday night, Houston, actually that's not bad, sorry, but Houston, and then at Minnesota, and then at Oakland. So really, I guess it's 2 games, the Jets and Minnesota, that seem concerning. But Gore's just been the kind of guy that just produces. He gets touchdowns, mm-hmm, he catches passes. I thought, coming into the game, I really thought his production would be tied to Andrew Luck. You know, Luck looks for him a lot in the red zone.
And they move the ball
exactly
so well with Andrew Luck.
And he had some chances to score in this game, and he couldn't get in. But I'm glad I benched Frank Gore. Given how consistent he's been, it was a risk. And, you know, if Luck plays, I'm pretty comfortable with him. If not, you know, no. As far as the Steelers go, Roethlisberger, 26 fantasy points on the road on only 20 pass attempts. That's awesome. And Antonio Brown had 3 touchdowns on 6 targets. Are we done with Eli Rogers?
Yeah, I mean, he's 36% owned. He's very droppable. It'll probably change the next time they're at home and they open things up again, because they, you know, it's not that surprising. They don't throw the ball as often on the road. They like to run it. So we'll probably see Eli Rogers or Sammy Coates or Ladarius Green or Darius Hayward, but somebody is going to have a big game, and we'll get excited about them the next time they're at home. But
right. Which is next week. Right, against the Giants. Yeah.
It's just, yeah, I don't trust any of those guys. I thought Sammy Coates was going to break out, and it just didn't work.
You know what you need, Chris Towers?
What do I need?
You are a well-dressed man.
Thanks.
I like the shirt.
Thanks.
It's a very typical Chris Towers shirt.
It's a plaid shirt. I'm a hipster.
Very Towersy. If you're a hipster or a non-hipster, you will love an Indochino suit. I really got to tell people about this, because the time's running out. First of all, it's holiday season, so it's a good time to get yourself some nice clothes. And even if you don't get the suit at Indochino, they've got great holiday deals on shirts, pants, and other products. But if you use our offer code FFT, same offer code for other products, FFT, on Indochino.com, IndoChino.com, you are going to get a made-to-measure custom suit from one of the most trusted, largest made-to-measure menswear brands for just $389. You're getting 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. Also, shipping is free. So this is a great deal. $389 for the best suit you're going to own that you're going to be wearing for the rest of your life. And that's really a great price for something that, like I said, is usually $800. So it's terrific stuff. There are hundreds of fabrics and patterns to choose from. You can customize the lapels, the pleats, the jacket linings, the collar, everything that you design the entire suit. Submit your body measurements on Indochino.com or visit one of their showrooms. Just go to the website and check it out. You're really going to love it. Go to Indochino.com. The offer code is FFT, as in fantasy football today. Indochino, get ready to look like $1 million. All right, it is time to play Beat the Waiver Wire. Yeah, thank you, Chris. Every week I try to find some players that are under own now, and unfortunately the last 2 weeks we've been like, Eli Rogers.
exactly like that.
Yeah, that are going to be popular on Tuesday's Waiver Wire. And it's not that easy. It's not that easy right now. So I have some guys that I think are sleepers this week, maybe should or shouldn't be picked up next week. But I think Tajae Sharp and Doriel Green Beckham.
Tajae Sharp has been getting a little more involved lately.
The only problem with Sharp is they have a bye, and then they have Denver.
Yeah.
So I'm probably not picking him up. But if you're desperate for a wide receiver this week, I think both of these guys have a chance to score, with Green Beckham facing the Packers on Monday night and Sharp facing the Bears. In shallower leagues, if anybody dropped DeAndre Hopkins at Green Bay in Week 13, that's probably unrealistic. But Jeremy Maclin's available in some of my leagues. They're at Atlanta in Week 13. I don't think you're going to be very comfortable doing it, but looking for matchups here. Jeremy Langford, just in case Jordan Howard gets hurt, Jeremy Langford is San Francisco in Week 13.
Yeah.
And Robert Woods is at Oakland in Week 13 if he can come back, so that's interesting. The Colts DST is at the Jets in Week 13. Now, looking at DSTs to stream for Week 13, the Browns aren't playing. The Cardinals have one of the easiest matchups, but they're obviously widely owned. I don't remember, but it just wasn't a great week for streaming DSTs. I don't really want to trust the Colts. They're so bad, but they are facing the Jets. I think the Cardinals are facing the Jaguars. I think that's what it was. So I don't know if you have any stashes in mind.
I mean, there's a couple of guys that I actually kind of like this week as sleepers that are pretty widely available. I would throw out Marquise Lee's still somehow only 12% owned, which seems way too low. He's got actually not a bad matchup with Buffalo. Ronald Darby has really struggled covering slot receivers this year, so he's got a chance. And if you're desperate at tight end, Clive Walford, go throw him out there.
Think so?
Carolina's going to be playing without Luke Kuechly. Their secondary's bad already. Luke Kuechly's one of the better coverage linebackers out there. I know Thomas Davis is still good, but that definitely makes them more susceptible to plays in the middle of the field, I think.
Well, let's see how owned Will Tye is, because I want to know if you would go with Will Tye at the Browns, and he is 3% owned.
Yeah, so he's in that same range. Will Tye's a nice streamer as well.
It's not that Arizona's facing Washington next week. It's Denver that's facing Jacksonville, so they're obviously owned. New England's facing the Rams. Their DST might be available.
Yeah,
but
probably.
But not a lot. Not widespread or anything. And the Jets, to be honest, if it's Tolzien, I think I have a feeling it'll be Luck, but that's just a guess. The Jets facing the Colts on Monday night. And, yeah, Tolzien played pretty well. Okay, so Thanksgiving food scale.
Okay.
All right, here's how it works, just to refresh everyone's memory. Chris doesn't like green bean casserole for some reason. You haven't had my mom's green bean casserole. It's fine. He's fine with turkey. He's fine with it. He'll start turkey. But he thinks cornbread is a must start. So the first one for you is Julio Jones going up against Patrick Peterson.
This one, you know, like it's a tough matchup, but he's no worse than turkey on any given week. This is Julio Jones.
So is he turkey or is he cornbread?
I think he's got to be cornbread because there's no way I'm benching cornbread. It doesn't matter.
Must start cornbread, Julio Jones.
Who the heck is benching Julio Jones?
No, nobody. But here, I wanted to talk about it because even in daily, it's not that bad. This is what happened last time these two guys squared off.
Demolished him.
He had, at the time, career high, 189 yards, Julio Jones, and a touchdown. And I was reading about it, just old archived articles on ESPN.com. Patrick Peterson, the week of the game, was mouthing off a little bit about how he won the matchup against Julio Jones when they were played against each other in college.
Yeah.
LSU in Georgia. And then Peterson said he won the matchup today. Cy Young winners give up home runs. At the end of the day, you have to bounce back.
I looked this up this week. Matt Ryan had a 155.8 passer rating when he targeted Julio Jones against Patrick Peterson in that game. Ooh. He was 8 for 8 for 171 yards and a touchdown.
Wow.
Yeah. He demolished. I mean, like it's Julio Jones. Like maybe they can slow him down, but there's no way you can bench him.
So he's cornbread. We love Julio. What about Mike Evans? Is he turkey, which is stardom, or is he cornbread, which is stardom?
I mean, you know, you look at the season that he's had, and he's been really consistent. He really hasn't had a game with less than 5 standard points. I think he hasn't had a game. He had one game with 9 fantasy points in PPR. Even against like Trufant in Atlanta, he's torched him for 249 yards and 3 touchdowns in the 2 games they've played. against Arizona, he had 70 yards and a touchdown. He's another guy I just don't think you can sit. It doesn't matter who the matchup is.
Only two games with single-digit targets for Evans. So it should be fine. And Dirk Koetter expects Richard Sherman to shadow Evans.
Yeah, he doesn't move around in the slot too much. Only 18.7% of his snaps are in the slot. So, you know, there's some risk there, but he's no worse than Turkey.
Yeah, he should be fine. He's fourth for Jamie, 10th for Dave, 5th for Heath in standard, and basically the same in PPR. So you can start Evans and you can start Julio Jones confidently. How about Devontae Freeman? Green bean casserole, turkey, or cornbread for Devontae Freeman?
Still turkey.
Okay, you're starting him?
Yeah.
So Freeman has not been very good lately. It's been like 5 weeks in a row, but he has faced some pretty good run defenses, and he will again, hosting Arizona. Also, Tevin Coleman's coming back, so that can't be a great thing for him.
Yeah, but, you know, he's had his best games with Tevin Coleman there.
It's true.
It seemed to work out, and, you know, it's not like he's been more involved in the passing game with Tevin Coleman out, so I it's a really tough matchup, and it's going to be hard for Atlanta to sustain as many fantasy-relevant players as they usually do. I'm not starting Tevin Coleman, but Freeman, I think you still have to.
Here's what's a little concerning. So four running backs this year have scored double-digit fantasy points in standard leagues against Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
They are Blunt, McCoy, Hyde, and Jonathan Stewart. They all had 20 or more touches. I don't see that happening for Freeman. And three running backs had 17 or more touches against Arizona and didn't score double-digit fantasy points, and they were Todd Gurley, who had 24 touches and 7 fantasy points, Kristen Michael, 5 fantasy points on 19 touches, and Jerick McKinnon, who had 4 fantasy points. Recently, Carlos Hyde had 13 carries for 14 yards.
Yeah.
So it is a tough matchup. Let me give you these guys. Freeman or LeGarrette Blount at the Jets?
Probably still Freeman.
Freeman or Rashad Jennings at Cleveland?
Probably Jennings.
Really? So you don't like Blount that much this week then?
I mean, I think he's fine. He's kind of so touchdown dependent. You know, he's so inefficient that you're kind of looking at like 60 yards and hoping for a score.
Freeman or Crabtree against Carolina?
Crabtree.
Crabtree, okay. All right, next up. So that is a turkey. You're starting him, but not loving it. Thomas Rawls.
I think that's cornbread. With all the injuries that they have. With Tampa Bay, I mean, Tampa Bay's run defense was really good last year, but they have not been as good this year. Yeah, I think he's cornbread.
My biggest concern with Rawls is just that he was really beat up after last week's game.
Yeah, so, it's definitely a concern.
Yeah, he's not 100% healthy going into this. Last 4 weeks, no running back has scored double-digit fantasy points against Tampa Bay in standard. No rushing touchdowns allowed, one receiving touchdown. Now, Jordan Howard had 100 yards on, I think, 15 carries. He fumbled. Latavius Murray, Devontae Freeman, Spencer Ware. They fell short. They're just not scoring. I think Rawls has a good chance to score.
Yeah.
And everybody likes him. Dave, Jamie, and Heath all have Rawls.
He is
top 12.
He is the sriracha bacon cornbread that I made for Thanksgiving yesterday.
Oh, wow.
I mean, if he's the start of the week, you got to be.
Yeah, that's pretty good. How about Todd Gurley? Gurley facing the Saints this week.
Does it matter who he goes against? Is Jared Goff still his quarterback? Do they still have that offensive line? Is Jeff Fisher still his coach?
Yeah.
He's turkey.
All those things are true.
He's turkey.
He's turkey.
Move on.
You like him better or worse than Freeman? So which one's the dark meat turkey and which one's the white meat?
Maybe it's like Freeman is turkey without gravy. Gurley is turkey with gravy.
Because I prefer the dark meat turkey. That's the only turkey I had yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Freeman has no gravy. And Gurley, so you like Gurley better?
I think I like Gurley a little better.
Interesting. Okay. I didn't have any gravy yesterday.
What?
Also don't like stuffing.
This is
I just don't get it. I don't even know what stuffing is. How do you make stuffing? What the hell is stuffing?
It's like bread and there's like celery and like
what is that?
It's delicious.
Let's go back to that Saints-Rams game. Home game for the Saints. Thanksgiving food scale. Michael Thomas.
He's got to be turkey.
All right.
I know he's coming off, what, two bad games in
a row?
Three
in his last four.
Yeah.
And the only good game is against San Francisco, and they stink. And he's only getting 6 targets a game now in his last, 6, 8, 6, and 5 targets in his last 4 games.
And there is some concern about New Orleans not having to throw the ball against the Rams because they're not going to have to, probably. The Rams are so bad on offense. But at home, Drew Brees is so much better there. He's the top red zone target. I think he's definitely startable.
Who is your favorite Saints wide receiver?
I think it still has to be him. No, Cooks.
I think it's Cooks.
It's Cooks.
Cooks in, at home is just...
Yeah.
Even against Seattle,
no, yeah, his,
at home.
His numbers on at home and on the road are ridiculous. He scores like twice as many fantasy points.
Okay, so Michael Thomas is turkey. You can start him, but we're not in love with him. And Brandon Cooks is cornbread?
Yeah.
All right. Jordan Howard facing Tennessee.
Turkey. Still, I hate Chicago's offense, but he's going to get so much work, I think.
Okay, we're starting Jordan Howard. And the last guy is Darren Sproles.
Green bean casserole.
Really?
Can't do it. I know the matchup's great. I know, especially for a guy who catches passes against this Green Bay offense, he could have some deep plays even, but...
We got the first green bean casserole of the day here.
Yeah, it's going to be really hard for me to trust him coming off an injury with... The way his role has fluctuated.
Who else is green bean casserole for you in the NFC home games, these five games? Arizona, Atlanta, L.A. and New Orleans, Seattle at Tampa Bay, Green Bay at Philadelphia, Tennessee at Chicago. Who's someone you just don't want to start?
Any receiver in Arizona not named Larry Fitzgerald for sure. There's no way I'm touching any of those guys.
Okay. I have to start Carson Palmer this week as an Andrew Luck fill-in. And we can start. Let's go right to that game. Arizona making their third trip to the East Coast, and they allowed 33 points at Buffalo and 30 points at Carolina. So, you know, I think that could make Matt Ryan owners feel better. Heath and I talked about it on the Thursday show. Heath really likes Matt Ryan. He has him fourth. And we'll see. You know, Ryan has really had a very, very favorable schedule.
Yeah.
This is not one of those matchups, but he did score 27 fantasy points at Seattle. So I think some of the names I threw out with Heath were like, well, I think the Thursday guys, maybe. Well, I did that with Jamie, I think.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been easy to start both those guys over him. What about Eli Manning at Cleveland?
I think you probably start Eli Manning.
Okay. Heath and I both said we'd go Matt Ryan. But I could understand that either way.
I mean, the Cleveland's secondary is so bad.
Terrible.
You look at the passer rating allowed by their four defensive back, their four cornerbacks in coverage, their top four. Joe Hayden has the highest at 90, and that's about 20th out of 40 cornerbacks around the NFL. The rest of them are all in the 110 to 120 range. They've all gotten torched.
Would you go with Derek Carr home against Carolina or Matt Ryan home against Arizona?
That's a tough one. I think Derek Carr has a better matchup for sure. So I think I would go there.
All right, and we talked about Freeman. You don't want to start Coleman. You
No.
want to wait and see?
Yeah.
Okay. And Julio Jones we're starting, so how about Mohamed Sanu? No, we're not going to start him.
No.
And Hoopa. Arizona allows the fewest fantasy points to opposing tight ends. So
that's
probably
weird.
Want to get away from that.
I would have, like, I expect Arizona to not be great against tight ends because of how much they blitz. You would think that would leave the middle of the field open, but it just hasn't.
They've had issues in the past, too.
Yeah.
And they haven't. It's not like they've faced amazing ones, but it's not like Hooper is amazing. And Jimmy Graham and Lance Kendricks, they had 5 fantasy points. Those are the best by a tight end. Kyle Rudolph had a touchdown call back in week 11. But, all right, so I think the Falcons, fairly easy. Well, you know, actually, I think people are going to have some tough calls with Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman. I have Coleman in a league, and I have James Starks and Chris Ivory. Terrible running backs in this league. And
I think I still have to start those guys.
It's PPR.
Okay.
So I'm not sure. If Yeldon doesn't play, which I don't think, I think Ivory's a must. And then Starks, too. Yeah, I will start both of them.
Yeah, I think because Starks is going to get some receptions,
but how
too.
About this? I want to, you know, I'm skipping around here, but I noticed this. Philadelphia's been great against pass-catching running backs. Duke Johnson, 3 catches, 28 yards. D'Angelo Williams without Bell, 4 catches, 23 yards. Theo Riddick, 6 catches, 33 yards. He did score 2 touchdowns, though. Ezekiel Elliott actually had the best game as a receiver, 4 for 52. Devontae Freeman, 3 for 32. C.J. Procise only had 2 for 5, but he didn't play that much. Rawls actually had 3 for 31. So this is a team that's done very well in that regard. Starks does scare the hell out of me. He's been a really bad rusher.
I don't think he's very good. But it's more about workload there with him where, you know, especially in PPR, you just need volume.
Yeah. Yeah, you just need some catches. All right, so let's go over to Carson Palmer. Any hope for him? Atlanta gives up the most points to quarterbacks.
I don't know if it's him regressing, if it's the offensive line, it's him, it's the receivers all taking a step back, except for maybe Larry Fitzgerald. But they just, that passing offense isn't the same, but
But isn't it, though? I mean, it's just the touchdowns. Like, before the game against Minnesota, which you don't hold against anybody, he's throwing for 350 yards per game in his three previous games. Atlanta gives up the most passing yards per game in the NFL and the most fantasy points.
But then you look at the yards per attempt over the last four seasons, 7.5, 7.3, 8.7, 7.2.
That's fine.
There's a Sesame Street song about this.
Yeah, I know, but still, I think this is a great matchup for him. I would have a real tough time, Tannehill and him and Palmer. I really would.
Yeah, that's I really like Tannehill and DFS for sure. Palmer, it depends on the scoring format. I play in some that where passing yards for quarterbacks are a little more valuable. It's probably pretty easy to start him there because he'll probably get to 300 yards. And it's just a question of whether he can get those two touchdowns.
Tyrod Taylor against Jacksonville or Carson Palmer?
Carson Palmer.
Jameis Winston against the Seahawks or Palmer?
Palmer.
All right. So look, if you're desperate for a quarterback, I know Palmer's widely owned. You might own him. He might be on your bench. He's got an opportunity. Fitzgerald is a must-start guy. If Michael Floyd plays, I mean, somebody's got to catch those passes. He had 100 yards two weeks ago.
Yeah.
But you're just
you got to be completely desperate.
Dorial Green-Beckham or Michael Floyd?
Probably Floyd.
Okay. David Johnson, top three running back in both formats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right, that's it. I want to say this about Floyd. Outside wide receivers have been great against Atlanta. Evans twice, Crabtree, Michael Thomas, Kelvin Benjamin, Demaryius Thomas, Tyrell Williams, Jordy Nelson, and some of those guys might move around a little bit.
Yeah.
They've all had good to great games against the Falcons. So it's sneaky, and I dropped Floyd, especially when he showed up on the injury report.
Yeah, that's not crazy. He's had like two good games
right
here.
But I picked him up because I thought he could have a nice finish. I dropped him again. Yeah, actually, you know, he might not be the worst stash, but I'm the only guy who thinks that.
That looked like the best receiving core in football before the season, and everybody but Larry Fitzgerald has been hurt and not good.
All right, the Rams visit the Saints. The Rams could be playing a Saints team with left tackle Teron Armstead. He could return for New Orleans, which would be nice. Even though the Rams have a good defense, nobody's worried about Drew Brees. Second for Jamie, sixth for Dave, first for Heath.
I mean, even against the Rams, he's so good at getting the ball out. He's so good at picking up blitzes that I think he has the lowest pressure rate in the NFL.
Now, the Rams haven't faced a lot of great quarterbacks. They went to Tampa Bay and to Detroit earlier this year, and Winston and Stafford have put up big games on them. The Saints running backs, Chris. Give me your approach for the Saints running backs this week.
I think they're in the Chris Ivory kind of territory. It's actually a pretty tough matchup. LA's defensive line is so good. If there was only one of them, if it was either one, I think you feel better about it. But splitting carries, I know it's at home, so they might have some opportunities. But the Saints are just as likely to throw the ball inside the five as they are to run it, I would say.
Starks or Ingram? I think everybody seems to like Ingram better than Hightower. We're assuming he plays.
Yeah. Probably Ingram over Starks. Maybe Starks in PPR.
Devontae Booker or Ingram?
Booker
against the Chiefs.
That's a tough matchup. I'd probably still go Booker.
All right. All right, for the Saints wide receivers, I think you can definitely start Cooks with confidence. Michael Thomas, less confidence. I think Willie Snead is overrated and overowned. Of course, he had two touchdowns 2 weeks ago, and he dropped a touchdown. He had it knocked out of his hands last week. So there's always a chance. If they're going to put up a big number at home, there's always a chance for Snead. I never feel confident starting Willie Snead.
Yeah, he's a boomer bust number three.
Okay. Then would you go with Randall Cobb or Willie Snead?
Probably Cobb.
I think the guys have Cobb ranked higher.
Yeah, I would say Cobb.
We need rankings.
Us?
You and me.
Just you and me, we'll collaborate on them?
Yeah.
Okay.
I really don't want it. Like, I'm glad I don't have to do it.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
I have to do it for basketball and baseball.
It's a lot of work, yeah. It's something that somebody else can do. Kobe Fleener, any interest?
He's a tight end.
Will tie.
You don't have a good tight end.
Will tie Clive Walford, Kobe Fleener?
Probably Fleener, I guess.
Okay.
We've seen him do more than either of those two guys.
And Todd Gurley. He was turkey, right?
He's the epitome of turkey.
You're never, with a little bit of gravy.
You're never excited to have just a big hunk of white meat turkey on your plate, but you're going to eat it. And that's how I feel about Todd Gurley. I'm never excited to start him at this point. He did have two runs of more than 15 yards. He had four the entire season before last week. So
wow.
I guess that's promising, but he just... The workload is too big to sit him, but it's so hard to expect much more than...
It's realistic that he scores, because the Saints have given up 13 rushing touchdowns this year. Only 3.9 yards per carry. So they actually haven't done a bad job against the run, but they give up a ton of touchdowns. And they give up a lot of production to running backs in the passing game, which is something that has disappeared from Gurley's game. Yeah. He has one catch in his last two games.
Benny Cunningham's back.
He was keeping it up even with Cunningham back. Mm-hmm. And then obviously last week was Goff. Maybe that has something to do with it. We're not touching any wide receiver the Rams.
If you're desperate, Kenny Britt, but yeah.
Believe it or not, the Saints have done pretty well against number ones.
Yeah.
Not great, but yeah, I just no way. Sit Lance Kendrickson. Which DST do you like better in this game? Rams or Saints?
It's got to be the Saints.
Yeah.
I mean, Jared Goff did not look good in his first game. This offense is a disaster. Even at home, even with the Saints, I think you'd rather have them than the Rams.
Saints or Cardinals?
Saints?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Saints or Patriots against the Jets?
Patriots.
Okay. And let's move on. Seattle's at Tampa Bay. This is actually the fourth long road trip of the season for Seattle. They beat the Jets 27-17. They lost 25-20 at New Orleans. And they beat the Patriots 31-24. Big news in this game is that Earl Thomas and Deshaun Shedd, a safety and a cornerback for the Seahawks, are unlikely to play. We talk about Jeremy Lane every week on this podcast. Like, this guy is going up against Lane. Should be good. He's moving to the outside now.
The weird thing is that if you look at on Pro Football Focus, you can break it down by slot versus outside. Jeremy Lane actually has pretty mediocre numbers out of the slot in terms of like passer rating. It's like 95, 98, something like that. But he never gives up much yards because it's just a lot of short catches, and then the rest of the defense, they're so good at tackling that there's not a lot of opportunities for big plays.
I don't think it really matters at all for Evans, but it does matter for Jameis Winston. So how are you feeling about Jameis this week?
It's hard to start him against Seattle, even with all the injuries. They're going to be missing, what, three starters?
Well, those two guys in the secondary plus Michael Bennett, who should be back next week. I'm not sure if there's anyone else.
Yeah.
I don't think so. But, it helps. It really does.
Jameis has been playing a lot better of late. He looked really good last week, especially.
He only scored 19 fantasy points.
Yeah, he only had the one touchdown, but he played really well.
331 yards at the Chiefs. That's pretty good.
So I think he's a borderline startable player.
Okay, Winston. You already said Palmer over Winston, so let me get some more names. Winston or Carson Wentz, honestly, against Green Bay.
Oh, man. That one's really interesting because Green Bay's defense has completely fallen apart. I probably have to go Jameis, but it's really interesting.
Winston or Bortles? At Buffalo.
Blake Bortles.
I think I'd go Winston here.
Yeah,
I'd be in the minority. I think
can Buffalo go up early enough to get Blake Bortles garbage time?
Yeah.
That's kind of the question with Blake Bortles. I'd probably go Jameis there still.
And Rivers or Jameis Winston?
Probably still Rivers.
Okay, Doug Martin, 10 fantasy points in standard in both games since returning from injury, but averaging 2.8 yards per carry this season, and Seattle allows 3.5 yards per carry. They give up some rushing touchdowns, though. I don't... He has not been good this year.
Very Todd Gurley-esque for me. Like, I'm not going to be excited about starting him, but I'm probably going to start him. Like, the leagues where I have him in, I don't have any better options.
Brandon Marshall or Doug Martin?
Marshall.
Doug Martin or Jordan Matthews? I actually like Jordan Matthews this week. I feel pretty good about him.
Yeah, the Green Bay defense, I think Heath looked it up. Over the last 4 weeks, I think they have the three worst defensive backs in football in terms of passer rating allowed and four of the worst nine.
And they got guys playing out of position. It's a mess.
I might go Matthews there.
I would definitely go Matthews. How about Doug Martin or Rishard Matthews?
Doug Martin.
He's a tough one this week. Martin? All right. Martin or Deion Lewis?
Still Martin.
Martin or Starks?
Martin.
Okay. And Evans, we like anybody else? Adam Humphries, no other Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I think Humphries is a decent sleeper, actually, with Anthony Lane having to move, or Jeremy Lane having to move outside. It might make their slot coverage even worse. No Earl Thomas over the top. So I think there's a chance.
Cameron Brate, start or sit?
Seattle's not very good against tight ends, right?
They allow the 10th fewest fantasy points, but they struggled against Bennett and Gronk. Yeah. I mean, they actually did well against Gronk, but struggled against Bennett. Zach Ertz had a touchdown last week. They haven't faced good ones.
And Zach Ertz actually had a long play that was brought back. I think I'm okay with Cameron Brate as a low end starting tight end. Cam Chancellor's not great in coverage.
So he's ahead of the Ty Walford.
Yeah.
Jared Cook or Brate?
Brate.
Okay. Yeah, you can start Brate this week. And we go over to Seattle. Russell Wilson is a must start. Should be awesome.
As long as he's healthy, he's a stud.
Thomas Rawls, again, we talked about him. He should be good. Doug Baldwin is in everybody's top 12. And you're starting Graham. He's one for Jamie, two for Dave, three for Heath. But he only has one good road game this year. He's been kind of home roady. We'll see if that continues. The Bucs have allowed 100-yard games to Olsen and Kelsey. They gave up touchdowns to Michael Rivera and two Falcons tight ends recently. So they've struggled at that position. But are there any sleepers on offense like Tyler Lockett? Or is it just kind of you start the obvious guys?
We have to see it from Tyler Lockett first. But there's definitely the potential for him to go off for a big play. It's just whether you actually get that. And he's just a deep league flyer.
Green Bay at Philadelphia. So the Packers, they are so beat up on defense. And we'll start with offensively, though. Because Philadelphia, they're the quarterback slayers at Lincoln. And so Aaron Rodgers, any concerns at all? As Matt Ryan has struggled there. Ben Roethlisberger has struggled there. RG3 and Sam Bradford.
The one thing I did look at with Aaron Rodgers is he's been really bad when pressured this season. He has a 70 passer rating when pressured. He hasn't been able to make as many plays as we're used to seeing. He's been really inaccurate. And the one thing this Eagles defense is really good at is the defensive line is able to generate a ton of pressure. They've been one of the best in the NFL at that. So I think there is some bust potential for Aaron Rodgers, but I also don't think there's any way you're sitting him.
Yeah, agreed. And we've talked about James Starks. He's okay. I did mention that Philadelphia's done a great job against pass-catching running backs. Now, as far as the wide receivers go, rank the Packers wide receivers.
Jordy, Adams, Cobb.
And what about Montgomery?
I just don't think he's been good enough lately.
Jordy should, based on the matchup, have a really good game. The Eagles have faced some of the best wide receivers in football, but almost all of them have owned them.
Yeah.
Like Alshon Jeffrey had 5 catches for 96 yards, which is huge for him.
Probably his best game of the season.
Antonio Brown had 12 catches for 140. Dez had 113 and a touchdown. Beckham only had 46 yards, but he caught 2 touchdowns. Julio had 135 yards. Doug Baldwin had 104. So I'll call it 110 yards and a touchdown for Jordy Nelson.
It's 83 and a touchdown.
Oh, okay. Devontae Adams. Did we do Devontae Adams versus Doug Martin?
No.
Who would you prefer?
Probably Adams.
Okay, we got potential. Ooh, I haven't picked a bonanza yet.
Oh no.
This has potential, but I don't trust Carson Wentz. I really don't. And Jared Cook, we don't really like him this week.
No, I mean he's had one good game all year. I know he was hurt, but
he's played 4 games. But
he
yeah.
was. It was also just a lot of big plays, and I don't know if that's sustainable.
And no tight end is more than 55 receiving yards. So you could get about that for Cook. Three tight ends have gotten about 50 yards against against this Eagles team. And that's Rudolph, Vernon Davis without Jordan Reed, and Jimmy Graham. It's a pretty good barometer. Two of them scored. So we'll see. I think more likely that it's Cobb and Adams and less likely, and Jordy obviously, yeah. Less likely that it's Cook. Philadelphia running backs, what about Wendell Smallwood? What do you think? Would you start him over Ingram? Would you start him over Starks? Would you start him over Ivory, assuming Ryan Matthews is out?
I would start him over Ingram and what were the other ones?
Ivory, Starks.
I would start him over Ivory.
Tevin
no,
Coleman.
I would start him over Starks, Coleman, and Ivory among that group.
And Ingram?
Not Ingram.
Not Ingram. But Hightower.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, I mean,
your expectations for Wendell Smallwood?
15 carries, 70 yards, and you're hoping for a touchdown probably.
You think he's better than Sproles?
Yeah.
In PPR?
Probably not in PPR.
I don't know what they're going to do. Look, I wouldn't be surprised.
It's going to be tough. Their running back situation has changed.
Yeah. Like Sproles could get all the carries.
There were times when Ryan Matthews was fully healthy and they gave Darren Sproles 80% of the snaps.
Kenyon Barner could get 7 or 8. And screw
but then,
everything
then
up.
There were those weeks where Ryan Matthews was barely involved in the offense but kept scoring. They've just their usage of running backs has been impossible to predict.
So I like Jordan Matthews, and he's about 20th in standard, a little bit better in PPR. He hasn't scored much, but yeah. 4 straight games with 10 targets, and I think if he gets 10 targets against the Packers, he's going to have a good game.
Yeah.
Dorial Green-Beckham, like we said, he's a flyer. Zach Ertz is a top 12 tight end, 6 or more catches in 3 straight games. Ertz or Brait?
Ertz.
Okay. Right now I am leaning towards Ertz over Martellus Bennett, but that might depend on the score after the early football games on Sunday. So we only got one more game, Chris Towers. Tennessee is at Chicago. The Bears are banged up. Leonard Floyd's in the concussion protocol. Josh Sitton may not play, their offensive guard. So Mariota is 6th for Jamie, 7th for Heath, and 9th for Dave. And the fact is, like, you see him 9th. Guys like Prescott and Dak and Cousins were ahead of him. It's just a good week. There's no buys.
Yeah, there's no buys this week.
Being 9th is still really good. You start DeMarco Murray. Bears actually been pretty good against running backs, but you're starting Murray. How do you feel about Rishard Matthews this week?
The Bears have been okay against number one wide receivers.
Yep, like Evans, 6 points. Beckham, 4 points.
Yeah.
Hilton Jordy had a big game. 0.
Yeah, so
How about this?
Hopkins, I would have felt it would have been a lot easier to sit him when he was just getting like 45 yards and a touchdown game.
I know.
But then last week he had to go and get 9 catches for 122 yards and muddy the waters. I think he's a number 3 wide receiver.
All right, Hopkins, Dez, Allen Robinson, Evans, Jordy, and Beckham have all had less than 60 yards against the Bears. I do think though. This is a little different. I think Matt Barkley makes their defense worse because their offense will be worse. They'll be on the field a little bit more.
Yeah,
I feel like the Titans will destroy them. I give the Bears credit for having some pride this year, and defensively they are better than
anybody expected.
Yeah, what is it? The whole is greater than the sum of their parts, or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So they're better than that. Matthews should be good, and Tajay Sharpe, like. Did I ask you Sharp or Beckham, Green Beckham, which one you'd rather take a flyer on?
You did not. Probably Green Beckham.
Humphreys, Green Beckham, Sharp, Rankin.
Humphreys.
Oh,
Humphreys,
really?
Green Beckham, Sharp.
Snead or Green Beckham?
Snead.
Okay. Okay.
I'm sorry, you seem disappointed.
Tyler Boyd or Green Beckham?
I have no idea what to do with Tyler Boyd. I'd probably go with him over Green Beckham, though.
LaFell or Boyd?
Boyd.
Okay. Okay, then. Delanie Walker, start him. And Jordan Howard, start him and avoid the Chicago passing game.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. Bad. I mean, it. Who could possibly... I mean, I guess Cameron Meredith. We saw him do well with Jay Cutler out, but that...
But it's Barkley
no
now,
way,
so
yeah.
I'm very nervous. And I think Marquise Wilson's also on the injury report. So let me see if I can read a few emails here. I don't have them in the notes. I will try to. Okay,
Excuse me.
Let's see. Just going to go through the. Yeah, you got it, Chris. All right, here we go. From Dozier. PPR, I need a flex. Mike Wallace or Tyler Boyd?
Mike Wallace.
This is from Thomas in, I'm guessing, Long Island. I don't know where else L.I. may be. Good morning, Larry and Michael.
To Curb?
No, he says, you might think these references are Jordan and Bird, but I'm actually referring to Adam's irrational beliefs on Cardinals wide receivers.
Okay.
Which have just gotten even more irrational today. I faced Antonio Brown in both of my two QB PPR leagues. I need upside. Pick two out of three. Carson Palmer, Tyrod Taylor, Ryan Tannehill.
Upside, I think I would go Palmer and Tannehill.
Tyrod Taylor, Phillip Rivers, Andy Dalton. Pick two of three.
Just sit Andy Dalton.
Yeah, yeah. We've got one from Tay in Taylor in Canada. I need two starters, standard scoring. Jeremy Hill against Baltimore, Michael Thomas against the Rams, Terrell Pryor against the Giants, Deion Lewis and or James White, and Tyrell Williams against Houston.
Needs two starters?
Yeah, standard scoring. I like Tyrell.
Yeah.
I think I would probably go Tyrell and Michael Thomas.
Who was the first one?
Jeremy Hill.
That's the one that's tough, because Jeremy Hill's got a tough matchup, but he should get a lot of work this week, and it's going to be hard to sit him when he does. But, yeah, I'd probably go Thomas and Williams.
Okay. Let's see if we can get one more here. The team that will carry me to the Super Bowl, the Super Bowl, S-O-U-P-E-R, from Michael here. He says, is New England Cam Crowder?
Sure.
Which we've had, which is very good. Tannehill or Wentz this week?
Huh. I would go Tannehill. Yeah.
Wentz was so disappointing against the Falcons.
I think he has a lot of upside this week, though.
He does, but he has not played well since like week three.
And no, for sure. He's bottom three in quarterback rating, I think, since then, and bottom three in, I think he might be worst in QBR.
I had a great team name from yesterday. Two great team names.
Okay.
Based on the Thursday games. One of them I think I might have stolen from a listener without realizing it.
Sounds about right.
I've got a feeling.
Yeah.
Right? That's good.
Yeah.
And
I think Keith said that one, actually.
Did he?
On
right.
Monday.
And Sua Craven's New Nightmare.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's good, like Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Yeah, I get that. That's fine. Yeah.
Come on. That's great.
That's okay. That's
all right,
fine.
Chris. Chris Towers, thanks for filling in.
Thank you.
Could not appreciate it more. And I hope everybody enjoyed it. Have yourself a great weekend. Happy belated Thanksgiving. Although, even though I wish you happy Thanksgiving Wednesday and Thursday.
It's Thanksgiving until you run out of leftovers.
Which is probably like Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, that lot.
So enjoy it.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. Eye on Fantasy Football, Saturday night.